football season. I like football season. For what it's worth, anyway.
Go Broncos.
Yeah! Row that boat.
Row the boat.
Nichols State is from Louisiana, where they have water and everything. Tough.
I don't know if they're bringing their Cajun cooking.
I don't. Yeah, well, that would be nice. So, it is the Trifecta 590 WKZO. Nice to have you here. It is Jim. It is Roger. Danny Cooley's along for the ride, too. He's over there learning things from Roger, which really scares the crap out of me, but that's okay. And back once again, our friend and 60th District State Representative, Margaret O'Brien.
Hey. Hello, hello.
Hey, how are you?
Good. I love being here with my favorite gentleman in broadcasting.
So you have not met yet Denny yet. He's the newest member of this den of thieves that we have. What are you looking around for, Monsignor? Over here.
He's trying to figure out headphones.
Oh, we might have to plug into the main board.
Yeah, that's what he's doing.
Oh, there you go.
How was it doing the trifecta solo for a while? That's right. Margaret was here. Yeah, you weren't by yourself.
And trust me, she's better company than you guys would be.
Well, any day of the week.
You got that right, plus on Sunday. So, yeah, well, it's nice to have you here. It is. It's always nice to have you here. Nice to see you've survived what's going on in Lansing for a while. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of that stuff, too.
Awesome.
Which would be fun because it's always nice when we can get an expert in.
Well, sometimes you have what's reported. And then you've got the truth or other people's perspectives. So it's always good to get multiple sources.
Well, you're firsthand. You're
exactly
there. So it's really cool. So, yeah, let's have some fun. It's going to be an interesting Friday. We have, of course, the phone lines are open, 382-4280, 1-877-382-4280. We might, Roger.
Yes.
We might actually have some passes to give away.
Really?
Maybe.
Movie passes?
Maybe. I can't promise you anything, but maybe.
You know, I had an interview the other day. Celebration Cinema, in the near term, going to be offering adult beverages.
I know.
And real food. Had an interview with the manager.
I saw that. That's
and,
cool.
Yeah.
That is really going to be cool.
And they're going to have, I put my request in for Oberon.
Yeah.
He said they are going to do craft beers and local beers.
You know who I mean, there's so many craft beers in this area. It's really kind of cool. But I'm hoping if they're going to do that Kalamazoo Cream Ale from Boatyard Brewing makes it. Oh, that's really good.
You like that, huh?
Yeah. When we get to try it, our friends from over there, Brian Steele and Dan Gilligan.
Yeah.
Have
you heard anything about...
I have seen some of their product around town.
Oh, good.
In bars and places like
that. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it's getting around. So
good.
We'll have to visit with them again. Maybe that or we'll
yeah,
just
we
take,
needed an update.
Let's take the show over there. What
get
the
an
heck?
Update and some samples?
There you go.
We need
to take the show. You want to go with us when we go?
Yeah.
I will go.
There you go.
I love local business, and I love our local breweries.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
We're
blessed.
I really don't care what Grand Rapids says.
We're number one.
We're number one. We're better than they are.
I also met the new manager for the whatever the Northwoods League team is going to be called. And
Brewers.
I suggested that there should be some tip of the hat to our local breweries and to help promote them.
That would be nice.
Something about us being a beer city.
Yeah, and I put my entry in. I used Brewers. I think the Kalamazoo Brewers would be a great name. And again, the Kalamazoo Promise might worm its way in there. You never know.
That'd be another good one.
Yeah, I can only do one.
Yeah.
So somebody's going to have to. By the way, snarky and smarmy texts can always be sent to 80373. One traffic note that Sam Harold from the WKZO.com newsroom told us about. Now we have another one, too. There is a situation. They're doing utility work at the light at Drake Road and Stonebrook Avenue. And that's a busy intersection
to begin
with.
That's the exit you come out if you go to the post office.
Yes. It's down to one lane, and traffic apparently is backing up horribly. So
northbound.
You may want to find an alternate route. Get off at KL or Stadium.
And Sprinkle Road and I-94, not a good place to be.
Top of the bridge. There's a fender bender there, too. So, all right. You ready to start the show?
Clearly weather an issue there on I-94. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not anywhere near the Galesburg Triangle.
No.
Well, but it's close on that side of town.
It skirts it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's on the fringe.
It's on the fringe.
But it's where I get off when the triangle hits.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. You'd know a lot about that, wouldn't you?
Yes. I back road a lot past that exit.
All right.
Let's start the show.
Let's start the show.
Friday.
I'm done. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'll take over the show.
Somebody says they like your giggle there, Raj.
Oh, so, really?
There you go.
He has the best laugh.
He really does. It's what do you call it? Infectious. There's a few other names we could have for
him.
That's okay.
Yes, that's true.
But it's all right. Now, if you want to see him really go crazy, I'll play the song that he doesn't like, and then we did it yesterday.
Yeah. Woof, 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 woof.
Da, da, woof, woof, woof.
Well, it's either that or bring up one of his favorite subjects. I know there's a few.
Yeah, I've got a couple of hot buttons out there.
Actually, you
know
what?
We're not talking about Kwame today, are we?
No, yeah. And we're talking about fracking. And what else is... Oh, and then, but he's got one he's going to gloat on. Margaret, I'm just warning you ahead of time. So.
No, I'm not going to gloat. I find it fascinating. Not gloating material.
Not gloating material?
No.
Okay.
No.
If you say so.
No. No gloating. This will be a no gloating zone.
Please. It's Friday. Anything goes. So we have a member of the Michigan Republican Party with us in studio. And an important member of the Michigan Republican Party in that. So she would have some inside information on this. Margaret.
She would have personal experience.
There's an internal memo, apparently, that was being spread around by the Michigan Democratic Party saying that it's in really good position, but I'm using the quoting fingers, quote, Republicans have become their own worst enemy, and their party is in no shape to defend their unpopular, out-of-touch agenda. Take it away. Now, you're a member of the GOP. Obviously, partisan politics aside, from your standpoint, what is the state of the state GOP?
Well, first, politics 101 is never take advice from somebody else who's your competitor. So, you know, I'm not going to put a lot of stock into a memo by a party who doesn't have the interests that I share in mind. But what I look at is when you compare the Republicans to another party, we tend to do a lot of our conversations, debates, family feuds, all that's in public. And the difference is you can have these arguments behind the scenes, you can have them out in public. There is a certain amount of health to having these debates in public because you get to hear a lot of perspectives. There's a lot of people who aren't Republicans that weigh in on these debates. Mm-hmm. So for me as an elected official, it's very helpful to have all this out in the open so there are no hidden punches. I'm hearing everything that people have to offer. And it can be very healthy. our country was founded on freedoms, and we have the freedom to speak. And within the Republican Party, we tend to have a lot of primaries, and it's healthy. You're going to have to earn your way. There is no pecking order. In 2008, I lost a close state representative race, and then I came back in 2010 and won. Everything is about earning your way if you want to represent the Republicans on the ticket. There is no clear shot. So here it's a healthy debate. I don't see the harm in it. I'm confident that we're going to come together behind our candidates, whomever it may be, that whatever primaries we have, and we can be strong. Because when we're afraid to have our ideals challenged, then that is when we're going down the wrong road.
You're exactly right. And all political parties, on occasion, have to do some soul searching.
Yes.
You have to do this. Democrats do it. Maybe more in the Republican Party at this point in time. But every once in a while, standing back and taking a look at what you're doing and how you're presenting it is required of all political parties. Democracy's messy. It isn't a pretty thing. I agree.
And if we have two political parties and each political party, everybody shares the exact same view within that party, then why have a primary? Why put a person up to run? You know,
why even have elections?
Exactly. There's a lot of diversity in any political party, the Green Party, the Republican Party, the Democrat Party, the Tea Party, whatever it might be. There's a lot of diversity, and we need to embrace that and not shy away from it. There's obviously going to be votes where people are unhappy. There's a recent vote, you know, in the state house where some people are happy, some people are unhappy. I'm happy to talk to both people because it's important for us to know that our elected officials are accountable, they're transparent. I'm always happy to explain a vote to an irate constituent or an happy constituent. You know, we need to be accountable to the people. And it's also understanding nobody is 100% like each other. As much as I try, my husband will not do everything I want him to do. He won't agree with me 100%. I'm working on it. We're getting close. 95% if we can get there. But, you know.
How long you been married?
We've been married 12 years. So we're getting there.
Oh, 12 years. My wife and I have been married 42, and she's still trying to mold me into that perfect husband she thinks I could become someday.
She has hope for you.
Yeah. Hope springs eternal.
And so when we think about our families, the people that we chose to love, we chose to marry, we choose to associate with, and we give them freedoms to be different than us, our elected officials are different than us. Our friends are different than us. Nobody is going to be 100% like you. And if you want an elected official who's 100% in agreement with you, the only way you're going to get it is if you run. And so it's one of those situations where look for accountability, transparency, somebody who listens. That's what we expect out of every elected official.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them to explain themselves.
Does a situation with the Tea Party, and situation by situation, I mean, they've already announced they're going to try to run somebody against Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly, and, you know, there's some other rumblings and what like that. I think that maybe there are some Democrats who believe that because there's that internal squabbling going on, that's going to leave, according to Eric Barron in this column on MLive, that's going to leave the GOP too tired for the general election. But you were mentioning earlier, is there such a thing as healthy competition? I mean, could this turn out to work in the favor of the GOP because it shakes everything loose and then suddenly now you're looking and thinking, okay, you know, we can come out of this unified and then we can move on.
Well, we have, with the article that you're referencing, they were talking about the challenge to Lieutenant Governor Kelly. And Lieutenant Governor Kelly, the Lieutenant Governor position is chosen at the convention. And so they did a poll based on people who were likely to attend the Republican convention, which you're nominated from the local Republican county conventions. That's different than the people who vote in the August Republican primary. The August Republican primary is showing Snyder is still the preferred candidate. And so what we got to take things for what they seem, what they look like. It's easy to say you're not going to vote for Lieutenant Governor Kelly today when there's not another option necessarily on the table. And when you pull so close after a tough issue like was just voted on, emotions are going to run high. You know, people deserve to look at the totality of what the Lieutenant Governor has done for our state, and he's been an excellent community partner. He has spent a lot of time in our region supporting our local businesses, and they will look at his whole record versus looking at what is one decision the governor's office made.
Well, and I see some risk to the Democrats at this time.
Mm-hmm.
If they think they're all fat, dumb, and happy and are sitting there waiting to have the election handed to them on a silver platter and counting on the Republicans still soul-searching a year from now, they could find a surprise come the next election.
I'm just wondering, is it too early? Really kind of too early to be thinking, well, we're going to take this out?
Yeah, I think this is premature. I don't think you can tell now what the world's going to look like a year from now.
Look at the presidential race that happened in 2008. The front runners fell off one at a time on the Democrat side. Fast forward to 2012, Republican side, the front runners started falling off.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's at this stage of the game, the best thing I can do is serve my constituency. There will be an election next year. Let's let the election process handle itself when it's time to run an election. Today is about public service, constituent service. I'm here to continue to serve, whether people like me, don't like me. I was elected to serve you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I'm doing, continue to listen. And that's what we need to be focused on, not on trying to guess some political winners that's 18 months away.
Hear, hear.
Well stated.
Eye on the ball. We can't always be running for election. Sometimes we just have to do business.
Exactly.
Imagine that. Speaking of doing business, they want to rename an office in the Capitol, but I'm not real fond of the guy they want to name it after.
We have agreement on that, my friend. Jump in the ride.
Ooh, ooh, 590 WKZO, it is the trifecta. It's Roger, it's Jim, and it's State Representative Margaret O'Brien, who's always welcome here.
Yay.
It's nice to have her here.
My pleasure.
All right, so they want to name the governor's office in the Michigan Capitol building, which apparently the governor doesn't use very often. He usually uses the office in a building across the street. But they want to name it after Representative Pete Lund of Shelby Township, who's probably a very nice person, but I'm going to have to pull him aside and tell him a little bit. They want to name this after former Governor John Engler. Now, I'm gonna do this in Reader's Digest condensed version.
Okay.
Okay, and I won't even refer to him as Fat Boy like I normally do, okay? Governor Engler was not my first choice for, if you're going to name an office for, you know, like somebody who's done great things for the state and who's been a governor, then name it after G-Man and Williams or George Romney or William Milliken. Those three would be on the list before John Engler. I'm sorry, okay?
I'd also like to point out that you and I can refer to people as fat boys because we recognize what a fat boy looks like.
I was told the other day when I went into the doctor that I'm not fat anymore.
You're obese?
Yeah, sort of. But she says I've lost enough weight that I don't look fat anymore.
Really?
Yeah. That was nice. Wanted to go out and have a pizza. But no, that's
yeah.
I think that's counterproductive. So
anyway, yeah. Does anybody else agree? I mean, come on. We have governors that have, I mean, like I said, you know, Williams, Romney, Milliken. Is anything named for Bill Milliken anywhere in Lansing?
I don't know. I think first there's two things to remember. One, you keep saying they. And from what I can tell, it's Representative Pete Lund.
Yeah,
I respect him greatly. So I don't know if he's actually dropped a bill and if anybody is co-sponsored. And then the second thing to remember is everybody has their own perspective. And so I'm sure there are reasons why he feels Governor Engler is the right person to name this office after. I haven't talked to him about it. Reading it in the news was the first I had heard about it. But everybody has their own perspective. There are people who like really oddly taste ice cream. So, I mean, you know, we all have our own preferences. And there are people who do think highly of Governor Engler.
But we could avoid, as my mother-in-law refers to it, a whole bunch of schmazel if we didn't pick a figure that brings up an emotion that isn't, we don't need that right
either
now.
Either one way or the other.
Yeah.
Either, you know, you either
there'll
really
be people
like
who
Engler
really like
don't.
Engler and those who hate him. And I don't think we need to throw gas on the fire of political partisanship.
My vote's for Bill Milliken.
Right now.
Maybe that's why you did it.
There are governors who deserve acknowledgement.
I'm not sure Roger likes this song because it's cool or because we only play it on Fridays.
It's because it's Friday music.
Okay, that's what it is?
Yeah.
All right.
You wouldn't find this on any of my playlists.
Do you know what? I'm going to go home tonight and watch this movie again.
Really?
Because I have it. It is one of the schmaltziest movies you ever want to see. Jeff Goldblum, who I really enjoy as an actor, plays this really cheesy, slimy nightclub owner, and it's really cool. Do you ever see it? Thank God It's Friday. Oh, it's great. Great movie.
That ranks right up there with Jingle All the Way. And what was the movie Xanadu?
Xanadu. Yeah. There we go.
Well, there's some classic movies for you.
Yeah, well, I don't think so. One of these days, you know what? We're going to have to go the trifecta top 10 of terrible movies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have a friend, and we have an annual tradition watching Jingle All the Way, the absolute worst movie ever made.
I have to ask again, you drink while you're doing this, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I thought so.
Yes. Yeah. Shots of Jack Daniels.
All right, well, so we have Margaret here. We have to ask her. And then we're going to let her put in a personal plug because this is really cool. Is a movie, a specific movie that stands out as being just incredibly horrible to you?
Oh, hang on. There we go.
Oh, now you're with us.
Shut up.
If it's really horrible, I just stop watching it.
In a theater?
I don't go to, I go to maybe one or two movies a year.
Have you ever walked out on a movie?
Well, I've been to so few. I've fallen asleep during movies.
There you go.
Well, that's my review of a movie with my wife, is if I fall asleep.
It ain't good.
It wasn't making it. But no, my Scott ancestors won't let. I paid to get in there. By God, I'm watching this whole movie. I don't care how bad it is.
My choice for worst movie ever is Up the Academy.
Oh, that's another bad one.
Because Mad Magazine paid for it to be made when they saw the rough, you know, they took their name off of it. They took their name off it. And the guy who's one of the stars in it, Ron Liebman, who is an incredible actor, really is. His name's nowhere on it either.
Right.
Can't be
so
found.
There's no really bad movie that's memorable for you, Margaret? Oh, come
They're
on.
They're probably funny. I mean, like the Conan movies, they're just hilarious. I watched those growing up. Those were probably bad, but I thought they were funny with Grace Jones in it and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Those were just hilarious.
How about Soylent Green?
Never seen it.
That was Denny's idea.
Soylent Green. Okay.
Soylent Green is
right
people.
On, yeah.
It was a pretty disgusting concept.
Yeah, it was.
My kids get irritated because I'm just not interested in going to the movie theater. I'd rather read a book.
Well, there you go. Yeah. That's cool. I like that too. I haven't hit too many bad books, which is pretty good. Which is cool. Anyway, all right, so Trifecta is brought to you in part by Bronson Children's Hospital. Walk and 5K run coming up September 29th. Register at bronsonhealth.com/walkrun. Now, I promised Margaret that we could put in a plug for her son who's and Portage Northern Soccer,
yes.
By golly. But we have to talk to Bob first. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Jim.
All right, so you got a full house today, dude. The Trifecta, Roger, Denny's over there having fun, too. I'm in here, and then I have Margaret O'Brien with us.
Great. It's always a busy Friday.
I'm telling you.
Representative. She's
Margaret
not
O'Brien,
like the
right?
rest of us schmucks.
No.
Right.
No, that's true. And well, why she's here, we don't know. That's, you know.
I hope you have good news for us for weekend weather.
Well, it depends what you're looking for. I suspect it's good news for most, yes.
Is that going to lead into the word, or?
All right, yeah. I might as well jump right to it.
Okay.
We have a lot of territory to cover today.
Yeah, we do.
The word is deceptive, and I think it's we're past Labor Day, and we're talking football, and I think the mindset is that it's fall, and it's going to be cool, if not chilly, and so on and so forth, and oftentimes it's deceptive to people just how warm, just how humid it can still get. After all, it is still officially summer.
Oh, yeah. Well, mm-hmm. That's
and,
a good for that.
I say that because we're starting to warm up a little bit now, but that's nothing compared to what's coming in the days ahead, mid-80s tomorrow.
Ooh.
And higher humidity as well. Now, you might remember yesterday at this time we spoke of the dew point. It was only, like, what, 39,
39,
37?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's 47, which is still low.
That's still low.
Still low, but I think that dew point jumps above 60 tomorrow.
Ooh.
So it's not exactly tropical, not like July steaminess.
No,
but,
no, no.
But very definitely noticeable.
It's a good thing Western's playing their game at night.
Humidity, so it'll be a little sticky.
All right. Well, you know, my big thing was is that what's going to happen in the afternoon, because I have an outdoor wedding and a reception.
Exactly. Well, first of all, weather-wise, tonight we're in good shape. High school football, any Friday evening plans you might have, just a beautiful day and a beautiful evening. Won't be as cool as last night. We start out clear, a few clouds overnight, but no rain. Tomorrow, partly sunny to go along with the warmth and humidity, mid-80s. And there is a front that comes through. It's a very weak front, but it might have just enough moisture with those higher dew points to trigger a stray shower or thunderstorm, especially in the afternoon. So I'd be a little concerned about that, Jim. It's again, I still rate it as a small chance, but it's got to be mentioned. I can't just ignore it.
Quantify small chance, Bob.
Let it stray away from Mattawan, okay?
To use
that's what I want.
National Weather Service term, I would give it a 30% chance.
Okay. I can live that. Yeah.
That could be an issue for those tailgating before the Western game tomorrow evening. I think by game time, by kickoff, any shower, thunderstorm, if it did occur, is winding down. And for the game itself tomorrow night, partly cloudy, kickoff temperature around 80.
Yeah.
And we're predicting an overnight low of 63, but if you're going to the game, it's not going to be 63 at any point during that contest. I think by and large during the game, it's in the 70s.
So no need
to worry about bringing along sweaters and sweatshirts or anything like that.
Good deal.
And then behind the front, it's a little bit cooler, a little less humid on Sunday. Pretty good close to the weekend, upper 70s, about 80. And then guess what? It heats up again next week.
Yeah, didn't you say the oven turns on again on Monday?
Absolutely. It starts to warm up Monday, and by Tuesday, could be above 90.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry.
Above 90.
Above 90.
Wait. Jay's sticking his face in the window and smiling. Okay. All right. So you're no.
Oh.
No.
Give us an idea of dew point on Monday with it above 90.
Monday, it's probably between 50. Well, Tuesday's a day it's above 90. Monday, I think, it's more like middle and upper 80s. Monday's dew point's probably 55 to 60. Once we jump into the 90s Tuesday, I think dew points are mid-60s, 60 to 65.
As long as it doesn't go above 70, though, it doesn't get really uncomfortable.
I suspect not, but it's going to be hot and at least moderately humid.
Oh, boy.
And,
okay.
In fact, that could be hot enough to challenge some records across the area.
There we go.
Given the season. Again, it is still summer, but meteorologically, we don't often find it above 90 this deep into September.
Oh,
by then,
you know
it'll be...
what? While we're going to go geek, Bob.
Oh, yeah.
When is meteorological autumn?
Well, that actually started yesterday, September 5th.
All right. I remember we talked about that earlier one time, that the meteorological seasons are different from the seasons that, you know, they're because
just
of the
real
calendar.
Quick as a refresher, if you were just to look at nothing but temperature, divide the year into four equal parts, looking at the average temperatures, the quarter of the year that would be considered fall or autumn runs September 5th to December 5th.
Okay. All right.
A little bit different than the actual definition of autumn, which is based on the sun and the earth, not the actual weather.
Yeah. All right, my good friend, are you ready?
I am ready.
All right, let's start it off. Let's geek.
2012 versus 2013. Last year, of course, a very warm year. At this point of the year, we were still 4.7 degrees warmer than average, 56.1, over 4.5 warmer than average. This year, a half degree below average.
Oh.
So that is about a 5-degree turnaround from last year.
Wow.
Precipitation-wise, the difference is even greater. Last year, we were more than 6 inches below normal rainfall-wise at only 18 and a third. This year, 31 and a quarter inches of rain, which is nearly 7 inches wetter than average.
Wow. Huh.
Now,
cool.
For the month of September, we're only a week into the month, but we see some differences. And I had forgotten about this, but the first week of September last year was very warm to hot.
Mm-hmm.
At this point in September, we were almost 10 degrees warmer than average, 9.2. This September, we're about a third of a degree, 0.3 above average. So it's essentially normal.
It's a little
compared
difference.
To 9.2 above.
Yeah.
Rainfall-wise, both of last year and this year, September, dry starts. Last year, first week of September, only 21 hundredths of an inch, about 2/10. You know how much rain we've had so far this month?
Zero.
0.01.
Oh, wow.
1/100th of an inch.
Huh. It must have been that sprinkling on my windshield one day.
About it. And the average at this point would be about 3/4 of an inch. So we're about 3/4 of an inch below average.
Yeah. It's not bad.
Bob, since we're well into hurricane season, anything out in the Atlantic that's of concern?
A new depression formed this afternoon near Tampico, Mexico, in the southwestern Gulf of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
It's very close to land and already will be moving ashore this evening. So before it can get any stronger and turn into any kind of a storm, it's going to dissipate. I suspect it will never get named. It's just a depression. We did have a name system a couple of days ago. Gabrielle lasted about 24 hours. That has already dissipated. In the central and eastern Atlantic, there are two areas of disturbed weather that could develop over the next few days.
But Bob, still pretty quiet.
Absolutely, and we're very close to what would be the peak of the season.
Before we let you go, I want to ask you another geek question here. Because we're just into September, do temperatures that get that hot, like we're going to have on Monday and Tuesday, do they have a tendency to skew the average because they're at the beginning of the month rather than maybe in the middle or the end?
Well, it averages are a collection of abnormalities, if you will. You take a 30-year sample, you get a lot of ups and downs, and this would be one of the ups that you have. For every day that you can find a 90 in the first or second week of September, you can find an occasional rainy day where it might only be 60 for a high, and that's where we get the
average. I'm waiting for those, Bob, okay?
And on rare occasion in late September, maybe even a snowflake or two.
You wash your mouth out
Dink
with
him.
Soap.
Ding him, ding him.
He said the S word. That's not fair, Bob.
No, that wasn't me.
I know. All right. Well, listen, my friend, have a great weekend, and we will talk to you in our Bermuda shorts on Monday.
Right.
All right.
Take
Thanks,
care.
Bob.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
See you,
Thanks.
Bob.
Bob Larson, AccuWeather meteorologist. You know, I'm going to cut your mic off.
Well, you're the one that brought up one hot day skew the whole month.
And that led you to mention snow?
And one cold day could skew the whole month.
Roger.Taylor@MWCRadio.com.
Or just WKZO.com.
Or you can always text him at 80373 and he'll read it.
Or you can just stick pins in a doll and...
Now, for the good news.
Yes.
Bob, did tell us. Good weather for tomorrow.
Yes. Yep.
Slight chance of rain. Calm University.
Mm-hmm.
Most the people who are out there with their tents, that'll be good. Be nice by game time, which is unlike last week when Western played Michigan State and there was about an hour postponement.
Because of lightning.
It was thunder, lightning, pouring rain. Fans got soaked and the game went on forever. So this is great weather for us to kick off our home season.
You know, it's funny. The last time we played Michigan, this past time with Michigan State, that happened. When we played Michigan, do you remember what happened?
No.
They stopped the game in the middle of the third quarter, remember, because it rained so hard? We got to stop playing these guys, you know, because bad weather happens. I don't want to row the boat anymore in a monsoon, okay?
You just started rowing the boat. That just started happening this year, and you're already complaining about rowing the boat?
Margaret, we had a listener text in and wanted to call in and ask a couple of questions about your votes on the wolf hunt. Would you be willing to...
Yeah.
Okay, Christy, the answer is yes, call. Okay, so Roger has got this, as my father or mother used to say once in a while, my grandparents, wild hair about fracking. You know, you see steam come out of his own, you know, the headphones and, you know, whatever else. Good news tonight, Raj.
What's that?
Well, there's an analysis done by the University of Michigan, and they're saying that fracking may be fracking, and we might have large reserves of gas, but apparently it's not going to be found for many, many years, if at all, because of the time that it takes to deal with the environmental and public health concerns. And I'm glad Margaret's here, because that does it seem that way to you, Margaret, that the legislative process and all the hoops you have to jump through to do this could actually be so time-consuming that it may just make it irrelevant to have to go after this stuff. By that time, we might find someplace else that's easier to get to.
Well, I can definitely gloss over the subject. I'm not on the Energy Committee, so I don't have the same expertise that Representative Nesbitt, who chairs the committee, has. But fracking has occurred in the United States, and there has been some limited fracking in Michigan. And it's always going to be a cost-benefit analysis. Obviously, Michigan has a strong support of its environment, and our environment directly relates to our economy. And so you're always going to have that cost-benefit analysis. What's the cost of whether it's actually performing the drilling or the cost of the regulations? And then what's going to be the benefit side? What's the revenues that's going to be brought in? So I think the report has some merit, and it's probably delivered a lot of good information, especially since Western is the site for Michigan's geological center for the state.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing that there's been a lot of core samples that have been taken that are being brought to Western to help us understand – our foundation in Michigan even more. So I think this is an important report for anybody who's looking at fracking or considering energy policy to consider and to look at. It's definitely something we should all discuss, and I trust that Chairman Nesbitt has already started looking at this issue.
We may have to have him in and talk to him again.
He knows an awful lot about energy.
Margaret, do you think that the companies doing fracking should have to publicly list what chemicals they're using to inject into the ground in Michigan so we can monitor for potential problems? Where do you come down on having to come clean and say what chemicals? It's not just millions of gallons of water, but what do you think about that?
Well, you know, first what I would want to know is what are the details on the current regulations? Because I'd want to make sure that whatever information we're collecting, whatever is given to the state, by and large, is public information.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would trust that that's the kind of information that they already have to give to the state when they're drilling and they're doing the fracking. And so it is made available to the public through the Freedom of Information Act that we have. Now, should it be made more transparent, more accessible? I don't know. I think it's a fair conversation to have. We need to discuss it. I recently went on a tour of the Allied landfill site.
Mm-hmm.
And we see what can happen, you know, many years ago when people weren't concerned about the environment, how that plays out many years down the road.
Yeah.
And people who make a living off the environment do have a vested interest in the environment, because you want it to keep producing down the road. And if we do something wrong with it, it's not going to be able to produce. It's going to be a wasted site. So what I would want to say is, what's currently provided? How is it accessed by the public? Where is it at in the state? Maybe it's already there and the state needs to take the lead and make it more transparent.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If it's not there, what is it that is best for people to know? Because the worst thing you can do is ask for a lot of time to be spent on something that isn't really important. It just kind of masks or covers the information you're looking for. So this would definitely be something we can have a conversation about.
But at face value, you think it would be reasonable for at least the state to know what chemicals are being injected into the ground?
I'm believing it's the state already knows, and mm-hmm. it's how do you get the information to
okay.
the public.
But if they don't, then you think that would be a reasonable thing to talk about at least.
Yes, the farmers in the community, you know, they have their whole farm management plans. The state's very aware of what they do as far as what they're putting onto their soil.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we all have a vested interest in our land producing for many years to come.
There's also a concern about earthquakes that have been documented in Ohio and now conclusively linked to fracking. Well, there's a lot to learn about this as we go forward.
Yeah. And Representative Nesbitt would be a great resource.
Yeah, we'll have to bring him back in.
He knows so much about energy. I just enjoy talking to him about these topics. I don't adequately relate the information that I know
mm-hmm.
On this topic as well as he can. And he can really give you a lot of the latest information that he's aware of.
Yeah, we'll have to talk to him. All right, now we asked Christy to call in, and Christy did.
Hi, Christy.
Hello, Representative O'Brien and guys of the trifecta.
We're glad you called.
Well, I'm glad I got the opportunity, so thank you. And I know time's always short and things are always happening fast and all that kind of stuff, so that's why I thought, well, I'll call a text first, see if I could. And so what I was wondering was your justification for, you know, the first petition that was circulated about the wolf hunt, you know, had over 254,000 signatures on it. And the highest the signature gatherer was from Kalamazoo. So she's in the Kalamazoo Portage area, which leads me to think that a lot of people from Kalamazoo, and especially in Portage, including Portage, signed that petition. But then that was headed off by the legislature.
Well, and what is important for people who maybe aren't familiar with this subject was there was a vote about wolf hunting, and I voted against the original proposal. So the first time I did vote no, and then there was a petition that was gathered about the issue to put it on the ballot, and I was not in support of the original bill. And so then a second bill was drafted, and it was brought to us, and it really restricted this to, it was much different than the first bill. The first bill was very encompassing. I mean, really covering the whole state. It didn't really focus in on the issue. And so what I listened, I try to keep an open ear to both sides as the second bill was introduced. And I talked to the legislators from the Upper Peninsula, and Democrat and Republican. This was not a partisan issue. And for them, it was a real issue.
Well, it was just a handful of Democrats that went with the Republicans. And part of the voting, you know, there was testimony by many who were basically harangued by, you know, Ed McBroom questioning, you know, are you from the UP? Do you live in the UP? You know, it doesn't matter. You know, that makes it an upper versus lower Michigan. And, you know, it was all Michigan registered voters that signed that petition.
Exactly. So, and what I'm speaking about bipartisan, that it was Democrats and Republicans from the Upper Peninsula who were saying this isn't a partisan issue. This is a concern in our community. So because it was much more targeted towards a specific concern that people had, that's where I ended up on that issue saying, okay, if this doesn't guarantee there would be a wolf hunt. It's my understanding they're talking about a wolf hunt now. But it said the possibility could exist. It put caps on it. It put limits. And it really targeted a certain area where they were having the issues, where it was interfering.
There's already a law in place to take care of those issues. And then the second petition came about because the legislature cut the head off of it. So now there's a second one. It's for politicians to deliberately and intentionally hand off power to an unelected appointed board to relinquish any of their power that they have, that just kind of shows, you know, a little, not conniving, but something less than...
above board?
You know, fair. Okay. Yeah.
Christy, I have to let you go because we're up against a break, and I guess we got a traffic thing, too. And Margaret,
thanks, Christy.
Margaret can tell you where you can get a hold of her if you want to. That would be helpful too. So thanks, Christy.
We have a cycle car accident at Rambling Road on Stadium Drive.
Oh boy! Oh.
And it's down to one lane in each direction. Consider that when you choose your route home this afternoon.
On Stadium Drive.
Yes.
Okay.
At Rambling Road, one lane in each direction.
Okay. All right. Yes. We've had three traffic issues. I have to read this as we get ready to go for break. We have a text about the weather. It may get hot on Tuesday, but at least you don't have to shovel hot.
True.
Truer words have never been spoken. Thank you. Indeed. So, Obamacare and the Republicans. Interesting factoid.
Just an interesting factoid.
Roger will have that, and as will we. We'll continue hour number two of the trifecta with State Representative Margaret O'Brien, Roger, and me, Jim. It is the trifecta, 590 WKZO.
Let's go! The trifecta continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's news from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.